posted with Joe since you've been to the doctor.
What's on tonight's menu?
I don't think we'll have enough time to cover it, actually.
We might have to
break it up into two, actually.
Or six, as usual.
Let's see how we go. Okay. What I wanted to talk tonight about was some of the pros and cons of internal and external modems.
Good line.
Internal like modems it? Suck. Internal modems suck.
He's not far wrong.
I hate them.
Because they don't have enough light.
Yeah. Disembowel.
You're right.
I urge all internal modem owners to disembowel their PC today and get an external modem.
Maybe the doctor can give us some clues.
I like the guy. Actually, he did leave out one thing.
Disembowel?
Jumping on it afterwards. Okay, now we're done.
Internal modem. Internal modems are good for business.
Come back in your face.
Yeah, do your business on them as well. Great.
No. If you're a computer service person. Because, yes, they do cause us a lot of trouble. No, they cause us a lot of profit, actually. Look, but I think the consensus here is that internal modems are not maybe the best thing that people say they are. Well, maybe yes and maybe no. You know me. I'm open-minded. I'm prepared to listen.
I know you too well.
Okay. Now, what this is the thing. Now, what would prompt people to talk about, you know, the pros and cons of internal and external modem?
Frustration.
Alcohol abuse.
A little bit. Or the misfortune of a kind and unsuspecting customer in recent times.
Not today.
Thursday, Friday.
Okay, mate.
Right, go for it.
But you're close. Anyway, look, we all know how to decide on whether to get an internal or external modem, right? Talk to Steve and Duncan. Now, the considerations are obvious, right? I mean, we all know what we're looking for and how we decide on one or the other. Well, firstly, we talked previously about some of the interrupts in the computer and how they all work, and we've also talked about how the PC architecture, the standard IBM PC design, really only supports COM1 and COM2. And we've also talked about how COM1 uses IRQ4, interrupt 4, and COM2 uses IRQ3, interrupt 3. Oh, life is so obvious, isn't it? Well, it seems that people are still learning out there.
Can you say it again?
Life is so obvious.
No, but COM1 supports which IRQ?
Oh, sorry, COM1, IRQ4.
Yeah.
And COM2.
Tell I'm having a modem problem.
IRQ3.
Well, as we speak.
No, I have had a modem problem for the past 3 weeks.
Internal or external?
External.
Yeah. But look, frankly, it's amazing. I mean, modems have been around since I was a child. And there are so many problems still with modems.
Is it the conflicts of the COM ports that's a real issue?
I think she's pretty much on the right track, actually.
And the closet technical geek!
I'm afraid I think we'll find ISDN won't solve it either, because I think you'll probably find you're still in your interrupts. But anyway, so look, most computers often come with COM1 and COM2 equipped in the standard machine these days, of course. So when you buy your Green Guide computer or whatever, hey, it's got... What do people say? I know exactly what I want. I want a Pentium 100 with 16 megs of RAM, 1 gig hard disk, and 2 serial
special pearls. Sources of cheese, onion, and accessories.
Often they don't, actually. But anyway, now, why do they actually come with two COM ports? I mean, has anybody ever worked
this out? One for your mouse and one for your modem.
Yeah, well, it is a bit like that, and that's what they say. Look, I mean, I don't know why, but usually they do actually say, hey, you can plug in an external modem later. And I would say, well, then maybe I'll get the second COM port later. Because, after all, the more is in your computer, the bigger the risk of trouble when you add things. And we know that, don't we?
I know too well. My machine has hung every day since I had you fix it.
Me?
No, it wasn't you. It was that damn video driver.
The video driver. He's been gotten by the video driver. Well, now you can get... By your interrupt sharing.
I thought I'd zoop it up and turn it into a beast. Still a bit of a
chunk of shit.
A bit of just a hummer. Right. Anyway, so then your problem starts. Someone tells you that the internal modem is better. And why? Well, there's lots of good reasons why an internal modem is better. You don't have an AC adapter. You've got less cables.
One less thing to turn on when you turn your machine on.
Dead right. Yeah. And one less thing to turn off and fire hazards and all that. You've got less desk space being chewed up by an ugly modem. And you just set it up. And then when it works...
Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, you just forget it, right?
Did you use the word if or when? when.
Okay. Well, I think this guy has been bitten probably more than once.
Thank you, Supra. Judging on those thighs, I'd say yes.
Anyway, the problem is that there are some problems with the COM1 and COM2, of course, and the COM1 and COM2 limitations. So how do you set up the internal modem if you really insist that you want to have an internal modem. Well, what people do is they say, well, you set it up as COM3 and you use ARQ4 and you share that with COM1. But the mouse may upset it if that's on your COM1, of course, and usually the mouse is on COM1. You could set it up as COM4 and use ARQ3, which is shared with COM2. Well, that's good if COM2 is not used, but then why have COM2? So the whole thing gets really strange, actually.
It's confusing.
You start wanting to add that. And when you actually open your modem manual for your internal modem, it'll say clever things. Yeah, well, the manual, but it won't help you, actually, I think you'll find. It'll say something like, well, COM3 and COM4 is not really available, whatever that means in precise computing terms.
It's not really there.
Well, because of the interrupt sharing, of course. That's and right. It made me chuckle a little, actually, at in recent times when I saw that in one of the modem card manuals. Anyway, my advice is this. If you have COM2 built in, then an external modem is quick and easy to get up and running if you get a decent quality product. Also, there are advantages about external modems. You can see the modem lights. Now, this is especially useful for the carrier detect light. And why? Because often if you're cruising on the net and you're half asleep or then you go and do something else, you may actually not hang up your modem properly.
Not the net's for.
Yeah, and there you go. You see, it's all practical stuff, isn't it?
And they get a bill for like 80 hours of use.
Exactly. And, I mean, I've seen that happen with people. They go and do their word processing documents or whatever, but they leave their modem up. So it's nice to be able to see that carrier detect light. And when it's off, you know it's off. And if you flip the power switch, you also know it's off. Also, you can take it off or move it or replace it if it has any problems or needs servicing, or you need to take it to a friend's place. But if you do insist on an internal modem and want to get it up and running fast, then I actually suggest you disable COM2 inside your machine. And I think because we're short on time, I'll tell you all about the pros and cons
next
of that
week.
Meanwhile, don't slit your wrists, folks, if you have internal modem problems.
Yeah, you're a champion. Thanks for that, Ed. Now, we have this prize to give away. Ring in 9419 2066.
No. We're not doing